Tuesday night on the Fan Pre-Game, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Ailish Forbar, Justin Cuthbert, a jam-packed show for you. Alvin Williams in a few minutes, tee up Raptors at Orlando tonight. Nabil Kareem's going to join us around 6:30. James Sharman at 6:45, a big soccer game tonight. Canada at BMO Field in the rain. They got a big opportunity for a massive win tonight to help them advance in the CONCACAF opportunities.
Yeah, the Nations League.
The Nations League. We'll have James Sharman on at 6:45 to help us tee up all the good stuff in sports tonight. But Raptors, Orlando, 7 o'clock. We'll have that, of course, on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's an in-season tourney game. You're not going to see the court that the Raptors had, of course, on the road. But that was a content, maybe play that didn't look so great a little bit down the road. Mm-hmm. We'll get into some of that with some comments. But Alvin tonight, it's a big one. Kind of feels like a must win for the Raptors if they want to make some headway in this tournament.
Yeah, it's an interesting night. It just kind of like peaked something when you said that, because we got two tournament games mm-hmm. that we're going to be teeing up. One, Canada soccer, maybe a bit more conventional. But the in-season thing, and it's like, does that mean more to you? Does that give you something to pique your interest, whether it does something for you or not? Tournaments are fun. Tournaments and sports, very fun. And I don't know if we're going to get to the point where this one becomes fun for the Toronto Raptors, because one loss already has them in a hole. Can they even really get out of that hole at this point? I'm not really sure. But they have an in-season tournament game nonetheless, and one that they should win, or one that they have to win, I guess, to have any chance of winning this thing. So yeah, tournaments and sports. They're generally good. I just hope this one gets more interesting.
The tournaments were my favorite part about playing hockey growing up. When you go like on a Thursday night, you play floor hockey in the hallways, little mini sticks. Mm. You just get to play 3, 4, 5, 6, if you're good, maybe 7 games in a weekend. I know the
7 games? You played 7 games in a weekend?
There was definitely some tournaments where you play 7 games.
I don't think I hit number 7.
Because you would lose.
It's fair.
It's too bad. But yeah, a tournament is nice. I think the questions that we're going to ask Alvin, of course, as a former player, is there's interesting discussion around the tournament games, because should they mean more? Well, technically, yes. But it, you know, are you saying that regular season games don't mean as much? How do you bridge that discussion in saying that, oh, every game means the same amount to me? I think that's kind of what Pascal went for when he was asked. We'll play that clip a little later in the show. But we'll bring Alvin Williams in, Sportsnet Raptors analyst. Alvin, big game tonight. The in-season tourney continues. But are the Raptors kind of in a must-win tonight to make this tournament anything that they could win?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, you're looking at a Boston team who's undefeated in this tournament play, and the Nets, and I think they have one loss, but the Raptors have to definitely get a win in order to, you know, keep their hopes high in order to advance and continue to that elimination round, the second round. So it's going to be a big game. It's going to be a big game. And then, you know, Orlando Magic is a very good team. They're playing very well early in the season. So it's a big test all around.
Yeah, I don't want a doomsday scenario this right off the bat, but if I guess you open the in-season tournament with two losses, it would put yourself or put the Raptors in a position with two meaningless in-season games. And Ailish just mentioned it. Like, there's still regular season games, so they do matter. But do you think the NBA worries about that at all for the teams that are kind of out of the tournament but still have to play in the tournament? It is an interesting format in that case, but we talk about motivations all the time. Do you think the regular season will do enough to keep meaning for these games that actually don't have any meaning for teams still participating in the in-season tournament but knowing they can't win it?
You know, I don't think it's up to the NBA to emphasize that. I think that's up to your coaches and the players and, you know, the makeup of your team to make sure everything is going to count. No matter if it's, you know, you're eliminated from the play-in, not the play-in, in-season tournament, but a regular season game. And like I said, you're playing against the Orlando Magic, who it's going to be a tight race. You know, you already look at the Eastern Conference and you see how it's packed up in that middle already. Then you have your play-in tournament. So every game is going to be huge, no matter if it's for the in-season tournament or if it's regular season. But again, I think that's going to be up to the coaches and the teams to make sure they emphasize the importance of each game, no matter where it comes in the season or in the schedule.
As a former player, but also if you've had an opportunity to discuss this with any players currently, has it worked? Like, have they felt like they know what they're doing, what they're fighting for? Has it given an extra oomph to any of these games? Would that help if there was something different as an incentive other than cash? I know cash is nice, but if there was some sort of opportunity to get a higher draft choice, or maybe, you know, you get a bye or you get home court advantage, how's it sounding for the players?
500,000 G's. That's what it is about, right? You hear some of the players, and I've heard even, you know, some of the established players financially, career-wise, doing it for their teammates, right? Doing it for guys that and the coaching staff that, you know, they're not on that pay grade, and it's an opportunity for teams to come together and, again, compete. When you get a chance to compete and have that feel of a tournament and the game matters and it's a single game, sometimes you get the NCAA feel. Some of the players never experienced that outlook as well. But when you put that cash there, no matter what, these players, they want that. So I think that's the biggest incentive along with the competitive fact. And then, again, it's the first year. So you can go down in history and being the first guys that won, first team that won it. So there's a lot of things that can incentivize the players and teams and organizations to go out and play their all. At the end of the day, it's a big push for the NBA, and the players are well aware it's good for business as well. So you want to collectively do what's right for business, because at the end of the day, everybody's going to benefit from it at some point.
So the cash is obviously something you want to play for, 500 grand. I mean, that's big. But if I look at a team like, let's say, the Clippers, I mean, it's just a bunch of guys who've made zillions of dollars collectively and maybe don't need to fight for that when in reality they might have other things on their mind. And I've been thinking a lot about, like, what makes up the in-season tournament winner? Like, what kind of team profiles well as the in-season tournament winner? Is it a young team that might want to chase that money that still has a lot of talent? Would the Nuggets just be like, we're just going to, you know, play to try and repeat as champions? Like, if you're looking at who you think could win this, is it a young and talented team, or is it just the best team in the NBA is who we should consider the favorite for this thing?
I think it's the best team, or one of the best teams, or one of the better teams early on. It is tricky because you have a lot of teams playing very well early in the season, and some of your teams that you came into the season expecting more out of, they're not so hot right now, whether it's through injury or just not there. You got some of the older players. You mentioned the Clippers. They have a lot of great players, but sometimes when you have older players, they don't really turn it on until after the new year, all-star break. So, again, I think right now it's the hottest team, but you're going to have to be talented, because, again, I think all the players are taking it serious. Their coaches are definitely prepared. So it's not – I don't think there's one type of profile that you could pick for the winner who will be most successful. But at the end of the day, I think you have to be good. You have to be playing well. You have to be healthy. All of those things go into being successful through the course of the season, especially into this tournament. But, again, it's tricky because it's early. So you might see an Orlando team. You might see an OKC. You might see some of these teams that are playing well early on and do really well in the tournament and take themselves to Vegas and get that $500,000 and all the other things that come with winning this tournament.
Yeah, I think that's the most interesting thing is, like, is it the elite of the elite? Are they going to put that effort in? Or is it going to be one of those teams that, hey, maybe sees it as a way for them to put themselves on the map and give it full effort when maybe it's 95% for the truly elite teams? Either way, tonight's game in Orlando means something for the Raptors. And if you look at this Raptors team, whether they, you know, win the game or not, or whether they can catch Boston or not, we'll just look at the regular season here and what this season is really all about. It's kind of at least the last five games have been kind of prescriptive, like better team beats the Raptors. If they're better, they beat up on that team. Do you think the Raptors have kind of defined themselves in the NBA's pecking order so far this year, or we're still trying to figure out who the Raptors are?
No, I mean, every day you're figuring it out. I think every day they are having moments where they're getting better. I'll take, for example, playing against the Washington Wizards team, and they had to battle back, being down 20, come back in the fourth quarter and win. But then you play another poor team in Detroit, but you don't have those same issues. So right there, that tells me they're learning. They know how to win the games that they're supposed to win, and they're going to continue to get better playing against the higher teams in Boston and the Milwaukees, because they're just not quite there yet. Those teams have been together. They have their cornerstone. You know, they added some pieces, but for the most part, those are championship-expecting teams. So the Raptors, we don't know exactly who they are yet. I think they still have a lot of room to grow offensively. It hasn't clicked consistently. But, again, they're playing defense at a high level. Their players are getting better. Scottie Barnes is, you know, he's shooting the ball, so he's improving. He's still got some other players. I'm sorry for the noise. I'm in the arena, so I don't know if you guys hear me.
Oh,
but
it's all good.
The Raptors still have room for growth, and I can't say that we know who they are, because there's still some unidentifiable things that they haven't done yet. But they have a lot of room to grow, but I feel optimistic about where they can go by the end of the season.
Chatting with SportsSense Alvin Williams, do you consider the Magic to be in the same boat as the Raptors? Are they a little bit more defined? Do they have more that's laid out for us and easily understandable? Or do you think they're still trying to define themselves and working through their own developmental curves?
I think they're finding themselves, but I think that's been through the course of the past 3 years under Jamal Mosley, the head coach. He has his players. He has his core pretty much. And these guys, you see, they're coming together defensively. They're playing high-level defensive basketball. They're playing hard each and every night. So when you implement that style and that philosophy, you're always going to give yourself a chance to compete. And I think Jamal having these guys been together for so long, and now they're really getting concepts. They're getting what the expectations are of the coaches, and they're coming together. And maybe a little sooner than the Raptors are right now, but they still have their struggles as well. Offensively, they're not shooting the ball that great. But they have some players coming off the bench, so their bench scoring is really good. So they got guys that are committing. They're sacrificing a bit. So it's a good look for Orlando Magic. And you see, going to get into an Indiana last game, and they just blew the doors off of those guys. Indiana's playing lights-out basketball as well. So I think, no, they're not where they want to be, but they may be further along than the Raptors just right now at this point of the season. And, again, it's very early.
It's not often that you get to see the last two rookies of the year go head-to-head. We'll see that tonight. Is that kind of the biggest storyline coming into it, two teams with two young stars that are looking to define themselves in this NBA future, right? The two of them being able to kind of write their own pathway, and they get to go head-to-head tonight, which will make a really great viewing as well.
Yeah, that's always exciting, right? We talked about how competitive these guys are, and you have two great young players, and they're still trying to earn their – their mark in the NBA. They're trying to get to a place where they ultimately want to be. And you never know. This could be a 10, 15-year battle, these guys going against each other. So you always want to come out and prove that you belong. You want to come out and prove who you are and who they say you are and make sure you continue to grow. So it's going to be a big-time battle. I'm excited to see Fancaro and how Scotty continues to play and be like an engine for the Raptors. Both guys are very ultimately important to their squad. So it's going to be good to see them go head-to-head, and it is a storyline.
And Scotty's playing at home, right? And we saw the fit pick coming in. Maybe you saved that one for playing in his home state. I wonder, though, for you, Alvin, was there more to it when you were playing in Philly?
No. At first it was, going back home, but early on I wasn't getting much time, so I really wasn't too excited to go back home and sit on a bench. But after a while, you figure out when you are playing, you guard Allen Iverson. So that wasn't fun. So I didn't want to keep getting my boots smoked in front of my fans and friends in front of with AI. So, but it was good because they were a competitive team. And after a while, we became pretty good. So it was always good battles there in Philly. But, sometimes it was stress going back home, trying to get tickets until I cut that out. So as I got older, I really started managing going back home. And it was good to go back home to Philly where we actually won.
And last one for you, we set up the matchup with the two former rookies of the year, but how did they deal with Banchero tonight? If he's the strongest force keeping them in the way of a victory in the in-season tournament, what do they got to do to handle Banchero tonight? Is it an OG assignment? Is it Scotty? What do you think you're going to see when Darko tries to deal with Banchero tonight?
And that's just a luxury to have an OG. When you have a player that can go out and guard to other teams' best players, and you can say, you know what, this is what we're going to ride on. This is what we're going to lean on. There's not many schemes. We don't have to go. We can go out, and that's what OG can do. He can go out there and guard your point guard. He can guard your shooting guard, your forward. He can guard multiple positions. So I think it's going to be an OG thing because that's just what he's built for, and that's why he's so valuable to this team. And then you have Scotty. You have different bodies that you could put on him. And then you just have to, as a team, you have to be aware because they have Franz Wagner. They have guys like that can really play as well. So, but against Banchero, I think it's more of an OG thing. Be physical. Make sure you don't give him much space because Banchero's a big body as well that has a lot of skill, and he has an underrated ability to playmake. Like we talk about Scotty Barnes. So he's not just going to have to go out there and try to score. I'm talking about Banchero. He'll get his teammates involved, but I think OG, he'll have that sewed up.
Well, Alvin, we appreciate you jumping on before the game. Enjoy it, and it should be a fun one. We'll chat with you soon. Happy early American Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. No problem. Thanks. That's Alvin Williams, Sportsnet Raptors analyst, of course, ahead of Raptors in Orlando. Some fit picks coming in. Scotty's got the outfit. Precious looked a little bit of mismatched vibe. I mean, I couldn't
pull. Was clashing a bit.
I couldn't pull one single thing off. We've got that at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and of course, across Sportsnet as well. We teed it up with Alvin, but the Raptors lost their first in-season game to the Celtics last week. It was a close one. They tried. Almost made it back there. 108-105 was the first of their in-season games. But now they're so far behind in one game. The other thing that kind of was tough for the Raptors is they were the last team to play an in-season tournament game, right? So we had to watch everybody else getting ahead or falling behind before the Raptors got their first opportunity. They're down with one game, and they're basically out of it if they lose tonight.
Definitely out of it if they lose tonight, which is, you know, there's still meaning for tonight. They still got a chance, I guess, to advance in this tournament, but it does feel insurmountable because of the situation, losing to the team that's already 2-0, you're the last to start. And for that reason, it feels like we didn't get a chance to get, like, really fired up about this. And I do think some markets are going to be very, very keyed into this. Like, I think it's going to be fun for select markets that are involved, maybe a team like Indiana or Houston or whatever, a younger team that you don't think they're going to win the NBA title, but maybe this is the thing that can really, really galvanize them and get their season to be a different level of exciting. But yeah, the Raptors kind of were dealt the weird hand where they started late, they lost to the best team in the group right off the bat, albeit close. And now it feels like because Boston just has to win again, there's not much of a footing the Raptors are going to get in this year's in-season tournament. I think there are other ways where this could be better, done better. I think when they expand and you go to 32 teams, like, why don't they just go to a knockout scenario with that? I think that would work better, almost like the FA Cup in England and different soccer leagues. But I think there's going to be a part here where there are so many in-season tournament games still to play and only so many teams that actually are still in it, and it's going to be a bit of a weird vibe.
Yeah, tonight the Raptors play. They'll also play Friday night. They'll be hosting the Bulls, which we'll see the Raptors court again.
And a really good opportunity for both Chicago and Toronto to just not have any reason to play in the in-season tournament anymore.
Yeah. Other than a regular season game.
Which only three games in is kind of tough. Like, it's a weird situation to find yourself in.
We did have an audio clip from Pascal Siakam talking about the tournament and if players care more about these games. His answer was maybe the best way to put it, maybe the most PR-friendly answer for a guy that clearly understands that you can't say that you need to play harder, but you can't say that, you know, one game means more than the other. Here's what Pascal Siakam had to say about the in-season tournament.
I don't think the money makes me like, oh my God, I have to, you know, kill myself. I have to kill myself every night because I want to be great. Like, so, and I think that, again, it's not like those games don't count. Like, counts, that's like regular, like, all those games are important. So, to me, like, I don't try to put extra pressure on that. It's just like, we got to win every game that we try to play anyways.
It's true. Like, you got to win every game you need to play. As Pascal said, you know, to $500,000, I think it's mattering to a lot of people. That was the first thing Alvin said when we said, how do the players feel about it? He goes, $500,000. So clearly they know that that could impact even the lower end players on the team. And like, that's almost a great way to put it with Alvin. He said, some of the guys are playing for them. Like a guy that just got a G League opportunity to play with the NBA. Maybe they're not making bank, right?
I do think there's going to be different motivations, though, because Pascal is coming from a place where he's made a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. And it's different for even players on his own team, right? But there are some teams, like, again, I mentioned the Clippers with Alvin. Like, you think Kawhi is going to be like, no, let's forget the program that I go run on because I want to make the 12th guy on the bench some money. Like, that's just not how it's going to go. So I think it's going to be a special kind of team that wins it. I don't think it's just going to be the Nuggets or the Celtics or whoever, because I do think the 500K is going to speak more to different teams, and I think the opportunity is going to speak more to different players, and we'll just see how it all shakes down. It's cool that we're doing something different, and we're going to learn about habits and behaviors and how this is actually going to go this year, because we don't have any data to pull from. Like, this is the first of its kind, and I do think it's going to surprise us along the way, even if it doesn't involve the Raptors.
Yeah, a couple growing pains so far. I think most of it has come with what seemed like a very hard to understand. It's not really that hard, as Steph Curry has put it. Just read it and you'll figure it out. But initially it felt a bit confusing how this all works out. We got to that point where I think we figured it out. But Jaylen Brown put a pretty good answer together when asked about their opportunity to play here in Toronto. Quote, I think we all as players are here for the in-season tournament because it's going to generate revenue, excitement, competition, etc. But you got to make sure the court is safe to play on. We can't put our players out there and risk their health. Tonight, I thought the floor was unacceptable. I think guys were slipping all over the place, not just me. Precious Achiuwa also spoke and said the same thing. I'm fine with the color. I just want to play basketball. I'm not trying to get hurt. So I think step one was to figure this tournament out, to get it going, and they clearly did that. And step two would be, let's perfect some of these little growing pains, which is the court, which is making sure the lines are painted properly, which is making sure it's not slippery, and maybe the Raptors get a little bit of a nicer jersey next time around.
Yeah, that's saying it lightly. I am surprised that the court, I mean, I don't think this is like a widespread issue across the NBA. I guess it was an issue
in a couple Toronto. Teams have come up saying that the courts were slippery.
And that doesn't really compute with me, because like we see different courts and we see different looks and we see different this and that all the time. It doesn't look like the NBA is a league hurting for money, and it shouldn't be an issue. If there's a supply issue, well, I guess you got to know that beforehand. But I got to admit, it didn't look great on television. It looked like a court that was painted over. It did not look like what the NBA would present as their normal high quality product. So it was a little
room
bit
to improve.
Interesting to me. But yeah, if you don't have the right court, then maybe they weren't ready to put this tournament on. But again, I think these things will iron out. And I do think it's going to be good for the NBA this year.
Okay, let's go to Bet Rivers quickly, because I have a Raptors-esque pick as well. And then we'll talk about why there's no NHL action on tonight. Time now for Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. I'm going with the must-win scenario, the homers parlay. Canada and the Raptors to both win tonight. That's +206. Canada's got a great opportunity tonight at BMO Field to book their ticket to the Copa America. And if they win or draw, they do that. I'm going to go with win. Raptors obviously need to win tonight for their in-season tournament hopes to maintain alive. So +206. I just want to say my Swift Kelsey parlay also hit last night. So
yeah, you nailed it. Going for two in a row. Big plus money on both. I'm searching for plus money as well. Scotty Barnes, as we talked about, going home. Mm. Going home to play in Florida. A big matchup between two of the best young players in the league. I think it might be a Scotty night. And if it's a Scotty night, he's got a good chance of being the top scorer in the game overall. If he does that, +500 hits. I think that's a decent bet, because Scotty might be motivated, incentivized by not just the in-season tournament tonight. And just a quick note on the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of people down on the Chiefs after last night's game, right?
Because nobody can catch the ball. They have no receivers.
I think this is the perfect time to buy in. Buy low on the Kansas City Chiefs, +225 to win the conference. There are not that many good AFC teams. I don't think there are many teams that can go into Arrowhead and beat the Kansas City Chiefs at all. And I think it was a bit fluky that Philly just did that. And Philly is a very good team, and maybe good or better than any other team in the AFC right now. I just think the means by which Philly stole that game are not repeatable. Fumble for Travis Kelce, your boy. Mm-hmm. Bad interception for Patrick Mahomes that just don't happen. And the circumstances are not going to line up where Marquez Valdez-Scantling has the game on his fingertips.
It was stunning.
He might drop another one, but maybe he's not going to be in that position next time.
Buy low.
Kansas City Chiefs can beat you with defense, the run game, and they got the best quarterback maybe ever. Okay. I think it's the time for the Kansas City Chiefs to go back to a Super Bowl, so I'll just leave it at that. +225, Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl and win the AFC.
Okay, so we've got Raptors, Canada, and Scotty in our Bet Rivers tonight. That was Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. No NHL action tonight. Not one single game. Jeff Merrick explained that for us, because I was frustrated. He explained that no NHL games tonight because there are only three teams or buildings available to host games tonight: Vancouver, Calgary, and Arizona. Canadian teams get sent to the U.S. this week for Thanksgiving and Black Friday, since these home games are requested by American teams. Arizona did not want to play back-to-back home games on Tuesday and Wednesday, and 12 teams that are playing tomorrow, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday can't schedule for Tuesday. There would be four games in five nights. And all the teams that went to Sweden are also not available.
Mm.
So there's no NHL tonight, folks.
I mean, like, I'm okay with the night off. It's just like NHL teams have too much power. There's a lot of I don't want. And usually
there was
sports,
some I don't
like,
want in that.
No, you play the games when we tell you to play the games.
One more thing before we take a break. Friday, we're going to bring in a new segment, a mailbag segment for Justin and I. We're going to let you produce a segment. So send in your questions, comments, takes. We'll revisit it a little later in the week. You can tweet us or message us as well. Make sure you send your name and location. We'll do a mailbag on Friday.
Produce our show for us.
Looking forward to it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Nabil Kareem to help set up tonight's Raptors game.
your daily dose of everything NFL. It's the Fan Checkdown with Matt Marchese and Donovan Bennett. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on the Fan pregame, Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 Fan, Ailish and Justin. We're going to have Nabil Kareem join us in a few minutes. Raptors tip off at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet against Orlando. Headed to sunnier, warmer climates. It looked beautiful in those pregame fit pics. A little jealous as it has been sleet and cold.
It's a rough day today.
It was rough. Nobody knows how to drive when it rains either. So long commute in for the two of us. Let's bring in Nabil Kareem, TNT NBA and NBA TV as well. Thanks so much for jumping on with us. How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. We're getting fired up for the in-season tournament, game two for the Toronto Raptors.
We're trying to.
Well, unfortunately, they lost the first game, and now they're like so far behind, it feels like they got no hope unless they win tonight. Your in-season tournament impressions, it's the first time around. Some growing pains, but overall, I'm sure you're consuming a lot of it.
Yeah, I like it. I really do. I wasn't sure about it at first, too, but like, again, we were doing a game on Crunch Time on the NBA app the other day. It's kind of like our red zone. And there's more meaning to it. Like the day I did it, OKC was 0-2 in group play, and it was a huge game for them in November. And so it mattered, to a certain extent. And so OKC is one of these teams that is hot, really good. They're a team that could potentially win this NBA Cup. So it was important. So I don't know. From my perspective so far, I think we've had some good games, some really crazy finishes. The courts could use some work, but at the same time, For like an initial tournament so far, I think it's been really good and the players have bought in, which I think is the most important thing. Because if they didn't buy in, then this would be a disaster.
Do you think the buy-in is a lot to do with the prize money? Or is it the excitement that, November we're playing must-win games when sometimes you have to wait a very long time to play a game that seems like it really matters?
Probably the money.
I tried to sell some story there.
Yeah, it's probably the money, but at the same time, no, listen, these guys are competitors. And, the guys I talk to all the time on the desk, they kind of say the same thing. Like once those competitive juices get going, it doesn't really matter what time of year it is. And I think it's starting to play off on some of these players and some of these guys who again, maybe won't be going for it for the NBA finals. But at this point, know that they can probably win something. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's interesting, because if money's a main driver, there are some teams that wouldn't be all that concerned, right? There's a lot of money in the NBA. A lot of guys have made a lot of money in the NBA. Look at the Clippers team. I mean, are they going to be driven by $500K? I just don't think so. So should we be looking at it differently? Should it be like a young team that maybe can't be NBA champions at the end of this year, but might be able to latch onto this right now and ride a wave and win this in-season tournament? Like, if you're looking to profile who wins this tournament without ever seeing this tournament reach its conclusion before, like, do you think you know what type of team's going to win this?
Yeah, I always thought it was going to be a younger team and a team kind of on the rise. Like, OKC right now has just been incredible, but they were my pick kind of going into the tournament. And I still think if they can make it there and get past the wild card and get positioning, they're going to be in a great spot. Indiana's another team, like a team that plays absolutely no defense whatsoever, but they're on a heater right now and they can score 135 points a game. So they're a fun team to watch. So I get what you're saying with that. Like, yeah, some of the more established teams, is it harder for them to get up for $500K per person? By the way, I have actually brought that up again to former players. Oh, it's just $500K when you're making 20 mil. And they look at me with like, it's $500K. It's still a lot of money. Like when you're rich for a reason, yeah, because you're making, money's coming in. So it's not like it's a small amount. So I think you're right. There are teams that potentially will not be contending for the finals that could have a chance to win this. And that kind of adds some excitement into it.
Yeah, $500K at minimum is a good weekend for NBA players, that's for sure. You mentioned OKC. What's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's celebrity down south? We have a pretty good opinion of what it is north of the border. Maybe not as big of a superstar as he should be, although we do thank him for his FIBA efforts.
He's in
for
Skims
sure.
Now.
And he's on Skims, so Kim's got the attention.
That's right.
He's got the attention of Kim, I should say. What is Shai down south? Is Shai like the next big star in the NBA? Is he there already? Is he a little bit understated? Where is he at in terms of everybody else's consciousness?
Well, I think, and again, talking to NBA people, I think they realize this guy is the real deal. Like, last season wasn't some kind of fluke. And what's most impressive about him is he kind of has a Luka type game where he plays at his own pace. It's not super fast. You know, he doesn't have the crazy handles. He's got great handles, but doesn't have crazy. He just does everything at his own pace and is able to control the game. He's a good defender. And I think he doesn't get any credit for that. He's a really good defender. I think he leads the league in steals right now. But he's a really good defender, and he can just do anything he wants at any time. And a great example of that was the Golden State game in overtime. Absolutely took over that. He dominated in overtime on both ends of the court. And I think people around the NBA are starting to realize, hey, this guy, if he's not the best point guard in the NBA, he's probably the second best point guard in the NBA. And he's going to get MVP votes this year. Like, I think last year he got a few, but he's going to get legit MVP votes this year if OKC can hang around in that top four in the Western Conference, which I don't know what a lot of people thought about them, but thought they'd be good and maybe make the playoffs this year, be top six. But if they can get the top four, I mean, that's incredible. And you might see some legit MVP votes for him this year.
We'll keep it Canadian content now, since we're talking about Shea. Let's talk about the Toronto Raptors. Of course, they got a big one tonight against Orlando Magic. But in terms of your, like, external perspective on this Raptors team, we use mushy middle sometimes to describe them, where they're going, their direction. I wonder for you, have they solidified what type of team they will be this season, or are you still asking questions?
No, I got no clue. It's so frustrating to watch them. Mm-hmm. It's from afar, because I don't get to see every single game like you do. You know, we're kind of watching everything, but the games I do, like, sit down for, I'm excited, and I have no idea what I'm gonna get. The one thing I am very excited about is Scottie Barnes. Like, from the year he had last year, which was kind of inconsistent, to what he has done this year and how he's ramped it up, both ends of the floor, the way he's shooting the ball right now, I mean, that's something to get really, really excited about. Now, the direction after that, I was kind of hoping last year that they would have made, you know, some deals at the deadline, knowing that they were kind of meddling around, you know, just trying to get into the playoffs. But we'll see what Masai does this year. You see rumors about, like, Zach LaVine coming towards Toronto, and which doesn't make any sense to me right now. But maybe, you know, there's a bigger plan, and I'm not really thinking about it in that sense. But I just look at it and I see, okay, Darko's trying to figure things out on his own. There's just so many variables for the Raptors, or their team in transition. And then you look at, like, Scottie, who's just having this incredible season, and then Pascal Bissat. They just, to me, again, you guys see them on a nightly basis. Do they fit side by side? When you look at, like, top duos around the league, I just feel like they're just too similar. And if I'm going to ride one guy right now, it's going to be Scottie, because his future is super bright, and there could be great return for Pascal, especially come February, come that trade deadline time, where teams are going to start to think, hey, we have a chance, right? We didn't know we had a chance, or we're one player away. Pascal would fit on a lot of teams because he's super talented too. But for me, I got to go with the frustration right now, because I have no idea what they are. But maybe that's part of this process, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of Darko's process to figure out what he's got and what he likes. And this is his team now. I'm just hoping that this doesn't end up in a season like last year, which was so disappointing towards the end of the year. And maybe you kind of have that kind of realization that, hey, listen, we have to get rid of some of these pieces and get some assets back.
Yeah, it feels like a team that was lacking clarity at least last year, maybe for a couple years. But with Scottie playing at the level he has, maybe it's like, okay, we know what our future looks like. We know, you know, what our future has to be built around. And maybe that does make Pascal expendable, and maybe they sort of funnel all their assets towards Scottie Barnes, and maybe with some runway to see if it can work between the two. You mentioned Zach LaVine. You don't think it makes any sense for the Toronto Raptors. What is the best landing spot then in terms of fit for LaVine, but also where he can make the most impact?
Yeah, I think about that, and I thought about him in Toronto, and again, it's just making another run where I still just don't see them being one of the top six teams in the East. So why take on that contract? I know you'd have to move money, you'd have to move good players to go the other way. It's not like you're going to get LaVine for nothing. So it is interesting. Obviously, his choices would be like, what, Los Angeles, I'm sure, Lakers, the Sixers. I think there was one more team that was in there. It's a good question. We had this discussion the other day on the show, and I think what the consensus was, that Zach's a really good, like, number three on a good team. And he could be a really, really good. And on other teams, he's higher up on the list. But on a really good team, because of his ability to score the ball, he shoots three really well. He could be a really, really valuable asset. And unfortunately for the Bulls, I mean, again, that's another team coming into this year. I was shocked, absolutely shocked, that they did not change some of the chemistry of that team, just because they got three really good players. Their big three is a really good quality, you know, threesome of players there, but they just don't fit together. And so for them to come back this year and have the year that they're having, I mean, just struggling to score, and you can see that this is just not going to work. Something is going to happen, and obviously Zach LaVine gets them the best return. So I think one of these teams that, again, that is close, that can look like a Lakers. I mean, the Lakers would love, you know, 20 some of his points per game, helping out LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So that would be a fit for sure. But I think time will only tell. And then you never know, especially with the NBA, right? You've seen it recently too. There's these teams that kind of sneak up at the end, teams you don't think are going to be involved, but think again, hey, we might have a chance, and Zach could be a big part of our future because he's locked up. You know, someone might come in there too.
Speaking of those teams, I guess, of surprise, I think the Timberwolves might be the surprise of the season so far. 10-3, that Brazil Twitter account as well is the surprise of the season. I don't know if you've seen it, Justin, but just be wary. It's very strange.
Check it out.
Yeah. Between the two of those two things, very surprising start. Would that be up there for you of teams that have just kind of blown away expectations, either good or bad?
Yeah. I mean, again, I look at the Pacers and the start they've had. They had a really good start last season. But this year, I mean, their offense is historically good. It's really early, but historically good. They play so fast. So if you're looking for like a league pass team to watch, the Indiana Pacers are so fun. Like, they don't play any defense. So, and if you have no, you know, you don't have no skin in the game, it didn't really matter, right? You just want to see exciting basketball. So they're a lot of fun. But you're right. Like, as far as quality teams are concerned, again, OKC, I thought would be really good this year. I didn't know they were going to be this good early on. Minnesota, man, Anthony Edwards, after the summer that he had, and finally him in not him, sorry, Cat, Rudy Gobert have kind of figured this thing out. Cat had a slow start to the season, but it seems like he's kind of figuring out Rudy's back to being dominant defensively. So, like, Tim Connelly and that whole idea when he brought Rudy Gobert in, it's starting to pan out a little bit. And I covered them in the playoffs last year, and you could see, like, I was talking to Cat off camera, and he hadn't played the four for his entire NBA career. I think he hadn't played since, like, high school or something like that. And so it was a different position for him. He was injured. He came back, didn't have many reps together. And it's difficult to learn on the fly, right? Like, that anyone's played any sports would know that. Like, when you come in on the fly and then now you're changing the dynamics of your team, it's got to be really hard. So for him to buy in, kudos on that. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's a piece that gets traded down the line for more depth or whatever it may be. But right now it's really working. And one player on that team that's not getting enough love is Mike Conley. Like, I know we always talk about him being this guy who should have been an all-star and so forth many more times over, but Mike Conley has brought the stability on that team and the veteran leadership that they needed. And not only that, he's got Rudy involved, right? Their connection with Utah. So that was really important. And him coming in last year was one thing, but him coming in this year with a completely different mindset, a little more aggressive, I think has really helped him out too.
Sounds like another in-season tournament contender. Enjoy U.S. Thanksgiving, Nabil.
Yes.
We appreciate you coming on. You spent a couple years now down south. Are you like a veteran now? U.S. Thanksgiving, not overwhelming in any way?
Oh, dude, Thanksgiving is bigger than Christmas here. I didn't realize that. Like, I've been here since this is gonna be my fifth year almost. And so, no, we take it very seriously now. We do both Thanksgivings. You know, so the kids still get, you know, they get their Canadian roots there still, but no, the American Thanksgiving, we're taking it very seriously, and so I will be like it completely out of commission after like
get your sweatpants ready.
Yeah, there you go, get the sweatpants out.
If you told me to talk that day, it wouldn't happen.
that's fair. Thanks for coming on, Nabil. Let's do this again.
All right,
thanks so much. Thanks,
that's Nabil Karim of TNT.
Yeah, I'm telling you, as someone that did many U.S. Thanksgivings, also Canadian Thanksgivings, it's a different tier of celebration.
It's honestly like a bucket list item for me at this point. I've never been in the United States for U.S. Thanksgiving. And I would like to just like visit small town America.
Oh, yeah.
And just like parachute on a average family's U.S. Thanksgiving.
You wouldn't
and just
be able
enjoy.
To parachute back out. You'd be rolling yourself.
Yeah,
off.
It would be. You'd have to. Yeah, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work out. The parachute would not be able to contain me
right,
on the
though.
Way back. But yeah, I just want to experience it once.
Yeah, well, they've got it right this week. Or this Thursday, we've got a couple NFL games.
And they're just adding another NFL game to the Friday, too.
A Friday game.
It's like, I don't know. It took them a while to get to this point, but one more NFL game?
Leafs
sure,
had two on Friday as well, so they're catering to a little bit of us.
I guess.
To you.
That one's a little random.
And they play the Blackhawks at 2 p.m., so a little bit of a
we'll take it,
American Thanksgiving.
It sounds like a really good sports
head-to-head.
Day. It's always a really good sports
yeah, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. You will eat a lot of food and consume a lot of carbs.
Is there like U.S. specific dishes that you enjoyed, or is it basically
it's
the same?
Pretty much the same thing, but like portion sizes, like triple.
Triple what?
I like mean, it's like anytime you go to the States and you go to order like a medium, it's a large. Like mm-hmm. the sizes are just they're supersized.
Yeah, and, but like you're in charge of your own plate.
Well,
you're not?
You just peer pressure.
Yeah,
you heap. A
I mean,
mashed potato
let's
mountain
be honest, I got
plate.
That problem for Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, I feel like you eat more like pie. I feel like there's more desserts, there's more pastries. There's just more options. You just have to taste it all.
It feels like more of a group effort, too.
Oh, yeah.
Canadian Thanksgiving, it's all
more like
on
potluck.
Nana
yeah.
to put things together.
Poor Nana.
And it's a lot on one person. But U.S. Thanksgiving, maybe there's more of a concerted effort to pass the ball around. We'll see if the Canadian men's national team can pass the ball around effectively. In their game tonight, let's bring in our next guest, James Sharman, to talk about a big one for the Canadian national team. He's in the press box. He's ready to rock. Win and you advance, or win or tie and you advance for Canada tonight. Canada fielding its best squad. They're set up for success. How big is this matchup tonight, James?
Yeah, you know what? It's a really big game. As big as we've seen since, I suppose, World Cup qualifying and during the World Cup, of course. In that the glitzy prize here is advancement to Copa America next year, which is one of the top tournaments in world football. It's going to be based in the States this year for the second time ever. But you're playing against the best of South America and six CONCACAF teams sprinkled in there as well. So it's all very nice qualifying for the semifinals of the Nations League, which this also gets you. But the chance to play on that stage is something that Canada has to do more of.
So is the prize then, and going to Copa America, grasping what they've been trying but failing to get over the last, I don't know, 12 months or so, I guess since the World Cup proper, and even beyond that, proper competition. Just going to Copa America gives you the opportunity to get games that this program has been wanting and without for the last little bit here.
Yeah, precisely. That's the point. For so long, Canada's played against the same opponents over and over again in CONCACAF. We were allowed to see beyond that at the World Cup with Croatia and Belgium, some of the top teams in the world. More recently, a trip to Japan opened some eyes as well. But the bottom line is for Canada to advance and improve and get better and learn how to win, it's got to start playing nations from outside its region, better nations. So the possibilities of playing against a Brazil or Argentina or a Uruguay is so tantalizing for these players and for this current coaching staff, whoever they're going to be by the time that comes around. That's a different debate, of course. But it's a huge moment, a huge opportunity as well. After, you know, like you alluded to, there hasn't been great since the World Cup. There haven't been great performances, haven't been really good performances, in fairness. But the foot was taken off the gas, it seems, once they qualified for the World Cup last year. So now it's time to make a bit of a statement tonight at home, where Canada is so difficult to beat. I believe it's 17 games now without a loss. And then start moving forward and playing these meaningful games against top, top nations. That's how you advance as a football nation.
How's the weather checking in? We know it's not supposed to be beautiful out there. Maybe an advantage for Canada, but I don't want you to turn your laptop around, but it looks cold.
You know what? I was here the last time they played Jamaica at BMO Field, and that was for qualifying when they qualified for the World Cup, and it was bitter. It was snow. It was icy. It was awful, and Jamaica had no interest in being here whatsoever. This is proper, authentic football weather now. Mm. Most of these guys are applying their trade overseas in Europe. They're used to this. For the fans, it sucks. And I'm very happy that I'm stuck in the press box because it's not nice. This swirling wind. You can see the rain coming down. It's not quite as cold as it was. I believe it's about 6 or 7 degrees at the moment. But not pleasant, but for football, this is football weather. This is great.
So what is the general vibe around Canada? I mean, it seems like the ship has steadied just a little bit. We've transitioned out of the John Herdman era. It'll be the first appearance on home soil for Mauro Biello. Is quiet a good thing right now? Or is that just, you know, the absence of action and storyline and narrative? Like, what is the vibe around this team? Because it's kind of been up and down, but mostly down, at least since the World Cup, in terms of positive things to latch on. And what could be a positive thing tonight, but just where are we at right now before kickoff tonight?
Yeah, I think quiet's the word. And that's a good word to use at the moment. After all the noise around the end of the John Herdman era, with the rumors about him talking to other nations, and then, of course, making the jump to TFC, there was a lot of noise. Throw in the labor dispute as a background noise there as well. It was too much. So now, since Mauro Biello has come into charge as an interim basis, he hasn't made any shock decisions. He's not trying anything new necessarily. It's status quo. They're getting the job done at this level. Japan aside, that was a tough match. It's a very, very good team. So I think it's quiet right now. If they can quietly qualify the Copa, that's a great night for Canada. And then they can start looking forward about who will be the full-time head coach moving forward. Will it be Mauro Biello? Will it be someone else? So the noise is coming. There's going to be plenty of noise the next few months. But right now, you're right, it's quiet. And that's just fine, I'm sure, for these players.
Yeah, and during this quiet period, there's been opportunity for these players who are playing abroad to increase their standing in world football, but also for Biello. Is there something that we don't know that's going on, whether it's overseas or domestically, from an individual standpoint? Has there been a particularly standout season from a member of this team that fans should know about?
Well, on the contrary, it's been a pretty poor domestic season for a lot of these players. Up front in particular, Jonathan David, Carl Lahren, struggling to find a goal at their clubs. Tejan Buchanan was out injured for a long time. Alfonso Davies is still doing Alfonso Davies things for Bayern Munich. He's still making the highlight reels every single week. He's doing just fine. But aside from that, Stefan Eustachio is making a name for himself more and more now with Porto. He's being linked with some even bigger clubs as well. And with the January transfer window not too far away now, we'll see more of these players making some noise. One player to look out for is Luc de Fougeroy of Fulham. He's just broken through into the first team in the cup competition for Fulham. Hasn't quite made it yet in the Premier League. He's a young centre-back. And Canada needs young centre-backs because defensively they're ageing at the moment. They're not great. So he's one to look for. He's not starting today. Will he get minutes today? You'd like to hope so at some point, but we'll wait and see. So, you know, no one's really standing out thus far in their club seasons. But again, it's still pretty early domestically in Europe.
Well, they got a big night ahead to stand out. You stay warm and dry and enjoy tonight's match. And it was great to chat with you, James. Appreciate it.
You too, guys. Anytime.
James Sherman, head of soccer content at Room 442. Of course, Canada taking on Jamaica in a couple minutes here at BMO Field. They beat Jamaica 2-1 on Saturday morning. And if they win or tie, they book their ticket to the 2024 Copa America, which is a big, massive step, as James says, for this program, an opportunity to play better teams and thus get better for the time that they do host the World Cup coming around the corner.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. Entrance into Copa America would be a massive, massive deal for this country. And it mentioned the quietness. I don't know if it's good or bad. The fact that he didn't really outline a single individual performance that we should know about is a little bit concerning to me, because that's the one thing you didn't worry about. It's like, okay, there's all these things going on with John Herdman, and it feels like we're headed towards a disaster in 2026. But at least like Ishmael Kone is playing and developing at such an exponential rate. And if maybe that's not happening, maybe it is happening, and it's just going a little bit understated. But I want to be excited about this team again. And I think a win or a tie, an advancement to Copa America, and the ability to play Brazil, Argentina, whomever in big, big moments, that's going to get the fan base galvanized and maybe get things on the right direction, or at least a positive, optimistic direction towards 2026.
Big opportunity for the interim head coach, of course. First time on home soil here coaching. A big chance to put a big staple win in front of a Canadian crowd. It's a must win for tonight for Canada, a must win tonight for the Raptors. That's a Tuesday night for you.
Big tournament night.
It's a big night for tournaments. Looking forward to it. We got Raptors in Orlando, 7 o'clock That's at Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful dry evening.